the Old Testament reading is from Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 25. Then the Lord God said, "It is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper fit for him." So out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird to the heavens that brought him, then brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And whatever the man called every living creature, that was its name. The man gave names to all livestock and to the birds of the heavens and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found a helper fit for him. So the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man. And while he slept, took one of his ribs and closed up its place with flesh. And the rib that the Lord God had taken from the man, he made into a woman and brought her to the man. Then the man said, "This at last is bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and his mother and hold fast to his wife. And they shall become one flesh. And the man and the wife were both naked and were not ashamed." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle reading is from Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 13. Therefore, we must pay much closer attention to what we have heard, lest we drift away from it. For since the message declared by angels proved to be reliable, and every transgression or disobedience received a just retribution, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? It was declared at first by the Lord, and it was attested to us by those who heard, while God also bore witness by signs and wonders and various miracles, and by gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Now it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. It has been testified somewhere. What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you care for him? You made him a little while lower than the angels. You have crowned him with glory and honor, putting everything in subjection under his feet. Now, in putting everything in subjection to him, he left nothing outside his control. At present, we do not yet see everything in subjection to him, but we see him who for a little while was made lower than the angels, namely Jesus, crowned with glory and honor because of the suffering of death, so that by grace of God, he might taste death for everyone. For it was fitting that he, for whom and by whom all things exist, in bringing many sons to glory, should make the founder of their salvation perfect through suffering. For he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified all have one origin. That is why he is not ashamed to call them brothers, saying, "I will tell of your name to my brothers. In the midst of their transgression, I will sing your praise." And again, "I will put my trust in him." And again, "Behold, I and the children God has given me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia verse. Then we go. You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. Pharisees came up and in order to test Jesus asked, "Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife?" And he answered them, "What did Moses command you?" They said, "Moses allowed a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away." And Jesus said to them, "Because of your hardness of heart, he wrote you this commandment. But from the beginning of creation, God made male and female. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate." And in the house, the disciples asked him about this matter, and he said to them, "Whoever divorces his wife and marries another commits adultery against her. And if she divorces her husband and marries another, she commits adultery." And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant and said to them, "Let the children come to me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. And he took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands on them. This is the gospel of the Lord. You may be seated for the hymn of the day. Father, by whose name all fatherhood is known, who does its love and claim each family thine own. Bless thou all parents guarding well with constant love as sentinel the homes in which thy people dwell. O Christ, thyself a child within an earthly home, with heart still undefiled, children bless in every place, that they may all behold thy face, and knowing thee may grow in grace. Spirit, who grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't think about Jesus as being a rebel, usually. When musicals in the 70s, such as Godspell and Jesus Christ Superstar, portrayed Jesus as a long-haired hippie, many church people were offended. I thought it was kind of cool, to be honest. Our gospel lesson offers us two huge social issues that Jesus tackled during his ministry that made him a rebel: women and children's rights. In Jesus' day, both women and children were largely viewed as property. This is not to say that some husbands didn't love their wives or did, and some parents loved their children, and I'm sure many did. One of the reasons children were treated as property is that there were so many of them that died early in their life. You were an old man if you lived to be 40 years old. It wasn't that many years ago when most agricultural communities were filled with big families. A local dairyman near my home had 14 children. Now, he was Catholic, so part of it's that, you know, that reason. But when each child turned 18 years old, they were handed the keys to another house that Dad had built on the farm. He wasn't being gracious to them. He just didn't want to milk all those cows by himself. So he knew one way to keep them there was to give them a house. And it worked. We can see from the actions of Jesus' disciples that they thought children were a bother, and they didn't want the children to bother Jesus. Jesus sat them straight. Children set the example of how one is to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus embraced them and blessed them. Jesus made it clear that God had considered marriage to be till death you do part. While Moses allowed for men to divorce their wives, note that he didn't allow women to divorce their husbands, Jesus reminded them that it was because of your, and here I think he was talking to the men, hardness of heart. A man in Jesus' day could easily divorce his wife and leave her destitute. Jesus wasn't having any of that. What God has joined together, let man not separate. These were the words of a rebel. Jesus was turning upside down where wealth and power resided. Women and children were to have a special place in the kingdom of God. No one was to take advantage of them. Just think for a moment how these words might have been received. I would think that the disciples might have felt ashamed of themselves for their treatment of the children. I'm sure other hearers must have had second thoughts about the way they treated children in general and their own children in specific. Children were not property. Children showed parents the way to heaven. And then think for a moment how Jesus' words on marriage and divorce must have been heard by those men who had divorced their wives. I am sure there were some followers of Jesus who had divorced their wives. I'm sure there were some followers of Jesus who were feeling some shame because they had. Jesus was accusing them of living in adultery. So what were they supposed to do? Were they supposed to go back to their first wife? Jesus went on to say that wives who divorced their husband, something for which Moses hadn't given any permission, that they too were adulterers, and their husbands were also living in sin. Can you begin to see the problem in Jesus' day? How were they supposed to get right with God once again? These were new ways of thinking about children and marriage. They were radical in Jesus' day. They're pretty radical in our day as well. I know that some of you have been divorced and remarried. To make things right, I don't see any other way of rectifying things than you go back to your original spouse. Now, how does that set? Because Jesus valued women who were more likely in his day to live in poverty because of divorce. It's also true in our day as well. And he cared about children who also would be victims of poverty and a divorce. He said these radical things. And if we're honest, if we go down through all 10 of the commandments, we each break all of them all of the time and are unable to rectify anything. I am supposed to fear, love, and trust in God above all things. On a good second, or maybe a minute, I can fear, love, and trust in God above all things. But most seconds and all minutes, all day, I fail at fearing and trusting and loving in God above all things. My chief sin is I worry about things. Worry about things over which I have absolutely no control. And that's just starting with that first commandment. Going down through the rest of them, we all know that by our own actions, we can never be right with God. Good things happen because we have a radical God. He knew what a mess we humans had made already way back in the Garden of Eden. So he announced a radical plan. One of Eve's great, 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 and a whole bunch of other greats' grandchildren would be a savior. He would crush the devil's head, but the devil would bruise the savior's heel. Now that was a radical idea. It was a radical plan. Jesus was that perfect sacrifice who crushed the devil's head on the cross but died in doing it. God would raise Jesus from the dead so that all of hell, earth, and heaven would know that Jesus was victorious, that he had made things right for us with God. And he did so by forgiving us. Now, does this mean that we're all free to sin all we want, to get all the divorces we want, to treat children and women any way we want? Certainly not. But Jesus has gotten us out of this jam our sins have gotten us into. Now we must do all that we can to live the life that God intends. You don't have to go back to your original spouse. You might be relieved with that one. But maybe you could find ways of forgiving them for sins they committed against you. Children are to love their parents, and parents are to love their children, but parents aren't perfect. My children will tell you that. Love them anyway. Work hard in your current marriage so that you don't cause the pain a family goes through during a divorce. Learn to get along because Jesus was radical for showing love, forgiveness, and grace to you. Amen. Now may the peace of God that surpasses all our understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.